So I rest my case at the cross. There's a covenant sweet. It was written for me. It's a promise that I could be healed. All my sin and my shame, even heartache and pain, it was signed and confirmed on a hill. So I rest my case at the cross, for now I have someone to champion my cause. I've been justified, satisfied, oh I have it all. So I rest my case at the cross. Don't feel sorry for me when you see I'm in need. There's a judge who grants mercy and love. All my burdens he lifts, all my sin he forgives. Every trial is won through the blood. So I rest my case at the cross, for now I have someone to champion my cause. I've been justified, satisfied, oh I have it all. So I rest my case at the cross. I've been justified, satisfied, oh I have it all. So I rest my case at the cross.
Oh, it's such a joy to be here. When you get my age, you're glad to be anywhere. And I'm glad to be here. I feel a little bit. There was a fella out in Pennsylvania, from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And he was there when they had that terrible flood. It's a well-known flood, of Johnstown flood. And he went everywhere speaking in auditoriums, churches, and civic groups about the Johnstown flood. Well, he died. He went to heaven, and when he got to heaven, he said, "Dear Lord, sometime when you can work it out, I'd like to speak about the Johnstown flood." He said, "Well, you can right after Noah." And after all the preaching I've heard here since I've been here, I feel like that fella preaching after Noah. But it's nice, and thanks for the fine accommodations at the motel. It's one of the finest around, I'm sure. And all the food and the fellowship, it's been great. I didn't get to hear the messages last night. I was pretty exhausted. I don't mind preaching. It's just getting to where I'm supposed to preach. And when I got there last night, the pastor said, "Now, Brother Green, you don't have to come tonight if you don't feel up to it." Well, I didn't feel up to it, so I stayed at home. But anyway, I was going to say that I didn't get to hear the sermons last night, and my son Jim said that Brother, what's his name? Cole. He preached on prayer. He said it was a real classic thing. But you know, I'm not trying to draw sympathy, but my precious son died. We just buried him last week, Thursday. And I've been quite melancholy and down, not in the form of being mad at God or anything like that. I am surely not, well, I don't know how to express it. But anyway, I just hurt. You understand that? You put away your own boy like that. I got 5 sons. And I had one daughter, and she died 2 years ago. She was a missionary in New Guinea for 25 years. And my boy Steve has been an ordained Baptist preacher, been my associate for years and years and years and years. But I'm not trying to play on your mind or heart. But you can understand how I've failed. And I didn't preach Sunday. I just couldn't get up to preaching. So I asked somebody else to preach for me. And I preached a little at the funeral. I gave a eulogy. But this is the first time I've preached in a couple of weeks. But anyway, I felt so that the Lord was so kind to let me preach on something that I'm familiar with. And he told me I could preach this message. Whether you care for it or not, I'm going to preach it anyway. But it's a message on prayer. I don't feel like an authority on the subject, but I do quite a lot of it. But I believe it's probably the greatest need of the hour. I'm sure that Brother, what's his name, did better last night. But my message is on the results of prayer. And for want of a better text, I'm going to use an old text. You've done that before too, haven't you? But I'm going to take you to James chapter 4 and verse 8. I'm going to see if I can't be on time tonight. I've been pastoring that church so long that I do just about what I want to do and get away with it. And when you're 85, you pretty well can get away with a lot of foolishness. People just sort of back off and say, just go ahead. But I hope and pray I'll just try to. What I do at home, when I see that it times up, I just quit right in the middle of a sermon. I don't have to finish it. Just give an invitation to go on home. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. I think there's a great spiritual truth here that so many people miss. I'd like to make it real simple for you to understand. When God made Adam and Eve, especially when He made Adam, He put down inside of them a capacity for God to dwell in their bodies. More than that, He gave them free will. They weren't puppets. He made them in such a way that they could choose what they wanted to do. And they did choose, and they made a mess of it. God moves on our free will. You move towards God. God will move towards you. You move closer. It's you. You're just as spiritual as you want to be. You're just as close to God as you want to be. I mean, I could quote many verses, but I just want to show like what Jesus said. Ask, that's your part of it. It shall be given unto you. Then He said, seek, that's your part, and you'll find. And then He said, knock, and it shall be opened. That's simple, isn't it? See the free will part of it? You can just draw. You can be just as close to God as you want. All things, whatsoever you shall ask, that's your part. In prayer, believing, ye shall receive. I don't know where you are and what your thoughts are. I'm an old man, and I refer to it quite a lot, and I've probably made myself older than I am. But when you get old, you sort of, well, you have different thoughts than most people think. And I have a great desire to draw near to God. I have a longing to be near Him. I've never, in all of my years, I got saved when I was just a little boy, 9 years old. But I've never been satisfied with my closeness with God. Maybe you have. Maybe you're wonderful. Wear a halo. But I have never felt that. I would say that I don't believe that I have ever really felt as clean as I like to feel. I never really felt as close. I've never felt as conscientiously consecrated to God. Don't just forgive me for being a little bit sensitive. But I've never been satisfied with my closeness. My flesh, not yours, but just mine, is rotten to the core. Am I telling it right? It fights God. It doesn't want you to be close to God. That Paul said, "For I delight in the law of the Lord after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind." There are times, at times, I feel closer to God than at other times. Sometimes it seems like days go by and I don't sense that closeness. Lester Olof, he was one of my, guess you call them heroes or whatever. But he said, if you can't track him, you can trust him. If you don't know right where he is, he's right there. But on the other hand, I get lonesome for God. If I can't sense his presence in my life, I get lonesome. And I've said it lots of times, Lord, it's been 2 or 3 days since you made love to me. Would you somehow, in your busy schedule today, just come to where I am and put your arm around me? Let me feel your presence. And I could be driving my car, which my wife doesn't allow me to anymore. I can't see, can't hear. I'm in bad shape. But anyway, I could be driving my car and stop at a stop sign. And all of a sudden, somebody got in the car. And I could feel his presence. And the joy of it was so wonderful. I would need windshield wipers on my glasses. Oh, you say, Brother Green, you're a little bit touched in the head. Who cares? They call me nuts. I'm screwed to the right bolt. But there is a longing. Now, forgive me. I love him. I love him with all my heart. I told Faye today, I could be deceived. People smarter by far than me have been deceived. But if I know my heart, I love him with all my heart. I say that song we sing, my favorite song is Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. But the third verse is my favorite verse. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm saying, if you think I'm a little screwball, that's all right. I just don't want to be super spiritual. I can't stand super spiritual people. They gag me. I know, as I said, what we all are, rotten to the core. And if you don't think so, you are. But there is a blessedness. Someone wrote that song, In the Secret of His Presence. How my soul delights to hide. Oh, how precious are the lessons which I learned at Jesus' side. Earthly cares can never vex me. Neither trials lay me low. For when Satan comes to tempt me to the secret place, I go. He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In that little secret place of prayer, there is communion with God. There is sort of a celestial atmosphere. And there is a change that comes over a person when you draw nearer to God. And there is a closeness that can be felt, really felt, sincerely felt. And there's a comfort this world cannot afford. And there is a confirmation of your sonship, your closeness, as well as being one of the children of God. You know you are. Nor than that, there is a consciousness of His presence. I'm going to skip over some of my notes. I'll never get done. Like I said, I don't hardly ever get done with this sermon. I just quit when I think I've had enough of it. But if you'll draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. So it's not the distance that God is from you. It's the distance you're from God. And it really boils down to it that you're just as close as you want to be. And some wonderful things happen. And that was my message, is the results of drawing near to God. I'll just give you my outline as quick as I can. I'm going to be done. I'm going to be done when I'm to the top of the hour, and I'll be done before that, Lord willing. First of all, when you draw near to God, there will be a peace. My peace I leave with you. I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song, in celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. And it's peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Now, you know, I had a fellow, I asked a choir director, I was assistant pastor in a large Baptist church in Jacksonville, Florida. And I asked the choir director one time, I said, tell me the truth. Can I sing? And I said, don't pull any punches. Let me know straight out. He said, you can't. Well, it made me quite upset, but you know, there are some people who sing who think they can, and there are some people you wish they knew they can. But what I'm trying to say is peace comes. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. the Lord will bless his people with peace. But he said in our text, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You're not going to get anywhere. You might well make up your mind. Without holiness, you're not going to even get to heaven. I don't believe that. Oh, shut your mouth. You don't know what you're talking about. I say the Bible says without holiness, ye cannot see God. If you want to feel, see God and feel God and be close to God, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Get your heart right with God. He's not going to bless you with peace, bless you with anything until you get close to God. I want to see how ugly I can get at times. But there's a second thing, that when you draw near to God, there'll be power. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I noticed missionaries, there's probably 10 or 12 of them this morning. I want to say something to you and you Christian workers. You don't have to agree with me, but I'm right and you're wrong. There are two commissions. The first one is, tarry at Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. The second one is going to all the world. But you don't go into all the world until you get power from on high. You just go off half-cocked. Just a lot of hot air and wind sauce. I went to Bible college, went to seminary. They taught me how to win souls, knock on doors, and that was good, and that's all. They know there's a lot to that, and that's what you're supposed to do, and I'm not against it. But they never told anything about getting filled with the Holy Ghost and getting the power of God on your life. And I went to a reputable, good Bible college. Boy, that didn't go over too good. I'll shut up. But I'm saying power. We need working power. We need witnessing power. And we need walking power and will power. And we need warfare to fight the good power, to fight the good fight. We need the Word of God power. And we need wondrous power. We need praying power. Draw nigh to God. And in that secret place with God, you'll find power. Would you forgive me? My family is here and they've heard me preach thousands of times. I've preached at conferences like this and you've probably heard me. But would you just let me take a couple of minutes and tell about, as the preacher preached this morning, my story. I had a good home, mother and dad, godly. There was just no cussing, damning, swearing, living like hell at our house. I never tasted beer nor whiskey in my life. My dad said, when you see me drink my first bottle of beer, you can have one too. I never tasted it. I've never tasted it. Never cigarettes and all that stuff. We just never learned how to dance on the dance floor. I've had a good bringing up, and I went away to Bible college when I was just 18 and graduated from seminary there and pastored 6 years before I made consecration. They taught me how to knock on doors and win souls and bring people down the aisle and all that. So, yes, and I'm not against that. Don't you think I am? But I took assistant pastorate in Florida, and I could sense the pastor had the power and the anointing of God on him. And the preachers that came behind that pulpit had the anointing on them. I knew I didn't have that. I was dry as last year's bird's nest. I needed God. I got hungry for God. I asked this preacher and that one. When they'd come to preach, I'd take them out to dinner and fellowship. Just, would you show me how to get the handle of this thing, how to get the power of God out of my life? Well, one said this, some said that. It was all good stuff. But one day I got ill in the middle of the night and was taken to the emergency. And the doctor told me to go home for a couple, 3 days and rest. And while I was resting, I read a book by James McConkie. He was a preacher about 100 years ago on the threefold secret of the Holy Spirit. And I read that book, and it hit me broadside, just what I needed. Now, the threefold secret is simple. Everybody that gets saved has the indwelling of the Spirit of God. That's number one. The second is Paul talks about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And then he talks about the abiding close to God. So I got hungry. I really got hungry. And I did what Mr. McConkie said in his book. I got down on my knees in the living room of my home. Nobody was there. No, I don't know where the kids were. I don't know where my wife was. I just was there by myself. And I began to reach down and rip up by the roots every unconfessed sin that was in my life. And when I ripped it up, I mean, I meant business. I not only confessed it, but I forsook it. And I found mercy. God forgave me. And he filled me there on my knees in the living room. I did not have a charismatic experience. I didn't talk in tongues or swing from the chandeliers, jump over the damn port. I didn't do that. But I felt something happened on the inside. That was 58 years ago. Within 6 weeks after that happened to me, I was pastor where I am now, been there all of these years. My children and that know, Tim heard preach this morning, Jim this afternoon. These boys, we had a revival in our church that lasted for 15 years. Now listen to me. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, stretch out my suspenders, but I just tell you, you can have just exactly what you want. You can be just as close to God, have his power and anointing on your life. If you want it, if you don't want it, go ahead and do it yourself. Big shot, Joe, from New York City. I'll handle the job all by myself. He'll let you do it. Good preaching, Brother Green. But if you draw near to God, there'll be peace, there'll be power. Whew, I got to hurry. There'll be protection. There'll be sort of a confidence that you can step out and be fearless and fearful, less for God. You can do exploits and you're not afraid to do what you're supposed to do. Confidence comes into your head and heart and soul. You know that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against you, that thou shalt condemn. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. You can say, well, if God's for me, who in the world's going to be against me? There's something that comes in when you draw near to God. Some unusual confidence that he's going to protect. And when you, like the psalmist said, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. I'm an old, like I said, I'm an old man. I'm going to sing you another song just to make you mad. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the waves are tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest winds and waters, stand by me. This is my favorite verse. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden, and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me. You can draw near to God. You can have all of this peace, this power, this confidence of your protection. Come what may, live or die, sink or swim. Hallelujah. Let her rip. Well, I'm telling you, I said I had a wonderful family. You boys, Jim, Tim, you remember your Aunt Virginia? She was my sister, 10 years older than I am. But when I was growing up, my sister loved God all of her days of her life. She loved Jesus. She taught me, I would imagine, 50 little choruses that have stuck with me down through these years. One of them was, what though the wars may come with the marching feet and the beat of the drum, for I have Christ in my heart. And what though the nations rage as we approach the end of the age, for I have Christ in my heart, and God is still on the throne, and an almighty God is He, and He cares for His own throughout eternity. So let come what may, whatever it is, I only say that I have Christ in my heart. And then it goes, I have Christ in my heart. You don't have to have all that. You don't have to do a thing I'm saying. But if you draw near to God, you're going to have a lot of peace, power, protection. And there'll be something else enough. I'll just have to give you my outline. Like I said, there'll be purity. You're not going to get very close to God without it, that's all. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. And let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. You'll make consecration. I was a Christian a long time. Well, from 9 to 26, 17 years. I was a Christian, but I wasn't consecrated. When I made consecration, there in the living room of my home, when I sold out lock, stock, barrel, teetotally, unconditionally, ripped it all up by the roots, confessed it and forsook it, God saw that I meant business. Fill me with the power of God. I've had a wonderful life. If I wasn't so fat, I'd jump up and click my heels together. I'm just telling you, you don't have to have all that. Nah, just cuss, damn, swear, live like hell. Keep on living just like you're living. Or you can turn around. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Power, peace, protection, confidence. Oh. And purity. Now you say, now I'm not trying to tell you that I'm an oracle of God, but I have one thing in my mind. My sweet wife that lives here, tell you, all I want to do is live a pure, holy, godly Christian life. So why do you want to do that? Why don't you want to have a television? I don't have a television. I don't want it. I can afford one. If I had one, I'd have one the size of that wall. You say, wouldn't you like? Oh, yeah, I like to watch it. So why don't you get one? I don't want it! I don't want to get involved. You can't hardly watch it without somebody going to bed with a woman right in your living room. Cussing, damning, swearing, smoking, drinking, raising hell right in your living room. You wouldn't let anybody else do it, but you let those jerks do it. Now, if you think that you can watch somebody go to bed with a woman in your living room, that's your Christian entertainment. You're a sick, sick Christian. Good preaching, Brother Green. There'll be purity. There will be a purity. Then there will be pleasure. I've got these. I had a bad infection in my eye 2 weeks ago. I lost the vision in my left eye. I got a pair of glasses. I asked somebody to take the lens out of this one because it was hurting my eye. So I just got one eye. I'm a one-eyed preacher. But what I'm trying to say is I can't half see. But I know this. The most pleasuresome time of my life is spending time with the Lord. I like what the psalmist said. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There will be overflowing joy. I can still hear my little sister, my big sister saying, oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. If you don't have to have that. You can just go on, just live just like you want to live. Cuss, damn, swear, live like hell. Chase women, chase men. Go ahead. It's all free will. But if you'd like to draw near to God, He'll draw near you. There'll be pleasures. I've got to hurry, so I'm just cutting it down, but there'll be a pulling effect. There'll be a sort of a charisma. There'll be a Christ-likeness about you. There'll be a concern for other people. There'll be a caring spirit. There will be a confidence, an optimistic view of life. There will be a consistency, a faithfulness, and there will be a countenance. Your countenance will change. a glow of God will come upon your life. There will be a pulling, a magnetic pull. There's something about that those disciples, they were ignorant men, but they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. There was a preciousness. There was a pleasantness. There was something that would draw men to Christ. And I realized this verse, I could take it out of its context, but I'm going to do it anyway. Some of you will criticize me, but you criticize me anyway, so it doesn't matter. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. And I understand what he's saying. But if you draw near to God, you will draw men to Christ too. There'll be a calmness. There'll be a power. There'll be a confidence, consecration. There'll be contentment. There'll be a charisma. And lastly, there'll be pardon. Forgiveness. If you seek the Lord, you'll find Him. I like Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And him that cometh to me, I'll no more cast. I won't get out of here. I don't have it. I didn't mean it for you. No, no, no. He'll not cast you out. He's no respecter of persons. And what he does for one, he'll do it for you. It's your life. And I'm just saying it's your life. You'll find pardon. I wrote a little poem and I'm done. I call this your personal touch. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you so very, very much. I long to be near you and to feel your personal touch. I crave your presence. It means everything to me. For there under your shadow, my soul delights to be. To you, Lord, I want always to be true. And never, never, precious Jesus, drift away from you. The price I must pay for such closeness I'll gladly afford. For the closer I am to you, the better I like it, dear Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you so very, very much. And I so greatly desire to have your personal touch. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me just for a minute? Let me ask you. Please don't turn your thoughts away. I would like to see if there is some people who would like to draw near to God. God, let them draw near to you. Would you like to have the touch and the power and the anointing of God upon your life? Maybe if you just step out, you don't have to kneel. Just come down here and stand with me. Now, I want to pray for you, if you let me pray for you. I'll not hurt you. I'm not going to trick you. But let me pray for you. I'm not a smart aleck, but I do know God hears me when I pray. I'd be the dumbest cluck in the world to pray 4 or 5 hours a day, every day, every day, every day. If I didn't believe he'd hear me when I prayed. You're here, let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' holy name, I ask for a special dispensation of your grace and goodness upon these people who are seeking you. And you said, if you'd seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. And I want you to help these folks. May they find the infilling and the empowering, the anointing of God upon their life and change them. We've talked about prayer tonight. We talked about drawing near, and it's entirely up to their free will. They can do it if they want to. They just as spiritual, just as godly, just as much Holy Spirit anointing power as they want. They can have it. God, would you do something special for these folks that's standing here at this invitation? And I'll thank you for it. Amen. Pastor, where are you?